Good morning. Today is Monday, the 23rd of January. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Airport Director.
That's it.
I nailed it the first time.
Time's the charm today.
Cody Rogic, yay! All right. Oh, boy. So we got all kinds of fun stuff to talk about, like possibly expansion of service.
We can talk about that, possibly.
Yes. We could possibly talk about it, or it's possible.
Anything's possible in the future, Brian.
All right. Well, we're going to have to smoke them out. Let's see what we can come up with here. Why do we say that? Are you ready?
I'm never ready for this part of it.
Gibberish.
Oh, I use that one a lot, too.
Do you?
Yeah.
Ah, very cool.
We have our own gibberish from the Midwest. We talk about that often, don't you know? But I don't know the origins of the word.
Not even going to fumble a guess, huh?
Jibber-jabber, I'm not sure.
All right. Early in the 16th century, villagers of England noticed that many swarthy foreigners were around. Since these folks were different, had black hair and tan skins, it was assumed that they came from Egypt. For a time known as Egyptians, common folks soon shortened their title to gypsies.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. A little bit of fill in the blank there.
Yeah.
Always keeping their distance from others, close-knit bands of gypsies perpetuated ancient customs. Even their language was distinctive. The speech of a typical gypsy sounded much like as though the dark-skinned person was jabbering pure nonsense. Getting there.
I was
getting
close.
There. The English coined a special word, gibberish, to name such talk. Half a century after the title entered speech, it became associated with sound imitating words such as gibber and
gibberish.
And jabber. Firmly established in everyday speech, the title expanded, and now we use it to label any incoherent jumble of sounds, such as people who are hockey fans.
I think that was the closest guess I've had when we play that game.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You weren't on time, but you at least landed at the right airport.
Right airport code.
There you go. Where did that stuff come from? Obviously, it's a military background, but you know, some of the terminology, is most all of it rooted in military?
Really the history of our country's airports, when you look back, much like ACV, most of them were established in the 20s, 30s, and 40s for military purposes and training purposes. Of course, as we entered World War II, leadership didn't really know what was going to happen, especially here on the West Coast. There was worries about potential attacks and things like that. While at ACV, we were actually expanded and infrastructure developed to train pilots to fly in and out of Great Britain and the foggy conditions that they were going to experience over there to launch over Europe. So we had more kind of that Europe theater connection, not so much the Pacific theater connection. But when you look at any airport, typically the history evolves back to that World War II era in some way or some form.
I always thought it was curious that after the Hindenburg, right?
Yeah.
They give us a blimp base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. Are you telling us something?
Yeah. In one of my previous airports in North Texas, they had a glider museum because they actually trained in very windy conditions down there, but they trained glider pilots that was part of the attack on D-Day and the few days thereafter was bringing in gliders behind the beach there.
Yeah, the silent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, last silly trivia now for you to be the answer.
Sure.
What is the V in ACV?
I don't
figure Arcata, California.
Yeah.
But the V is like...
I don't know the origins of that. I know that the FAA... they manage that system. The ACV, as you said, I think the A and the C come from Arcata. I'm not sure about the V, and a lot of times it's a random hodgepodge of letters that don't necessarily correlate to the local community or a nearby town. So you get all kinds of random ones out there, even some of the bigger airports that you go to. It doesn't always make sense. Certainly LAX makes sense, but yeah. So sometimes one of the letters makes sense and the other two don't, but yeah. He's writing me secret notes here in the studio.
And they're all making sense. So, how about victory?
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
That could
be. Yep. We helped the victory.
yeah. But, you know, you look at like Orange County, California, SNY, I think is their code. I don't know if that ties to Sunny for Orange County or what, but the letters don't line up. So.
Not Sunny Delight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. The last little bit, we've been seeing the planes coming in from different directions. What is that? Is that triggered to anything?
Yeah, that's actually tied to the weather we've been experiencing, which has been quite crazy for everywhere around Humboldt in different ways here over the last month since you and I last talked. But we've had a lot of winds out of the south and southeast, so aircraft have been coming in past the Trinidad Head and landing from the northwest facing southeast. Most times it's the other direction, aircraft also taking off to the southeast as well. They always want to try to take off into the wind and land into the wind. It helps with their performance characteristics on both directions. So
you mean the aerodynamics?
There you go.
Performance.
Yes.
I think the performance is survive, not survive, right? I mean, that's kind of the basic essence.
Yeah, primarily the lift on takeoff and slowing you down when you're coming into a ride. So.
Oh, good. Now you're talking radio. Now, will they use the little weather monitor station on Trinidad Head at the top as the reference to bring it in? Because I know sometimes, like at Murray, they'll use our towers and hone in on the radio signal.
Yeah, so actually up at ACV, we have a weather station there on the airport. So they're monitoring that weather. They look at that weather before they take off wherever they're coming from, and then they're able to monitor that while they're in flight too. So if conditions change, they can change their course and change plans.
I was thinking more of like a guide to line up so that the end of the runway coming in straight instead of that last minute correction.
Yeah, they always want our weather information because it's accurate and right next to the runway. So.
Oh, duh. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Roggets from Humboldt County Airport, et cetera, Inc.
Yep. The list goes on and on.
Oh, that'd be a cool card, wouldn't it? et cetera, comma, Inc.
Yeah.
I'm going to have so many ancillary business cards for all you department heads. I think I'm going to have to make them up and hand them to you because nobody seems to either understand the humor or be in a strong enough position to execute the humor.
Well, you're a pretty creative guy. I'm not sure I want to give you that liberty to start creating a new business card for me. That could end up pretty scary.
Well, Rod, I wonder what this Rod's in for Winston this week. I wonder what the smallest number we could get in business cards, if we could get them by the hundreds. There's about 10 of them that I want really quickly. And if we lift the real Humboldt County logo off, put them on there, I think we could have a little bit of fun here.
If my fellow department heads are listening this morning, they're all sweating in their offices.
You print them yourself. Just make as many as you want.
Get the every template things. Okay, fine. good. Okay. Well, we'll see what's here when you next arrive, buddy.
We'll see if I come back next time.
Well, don't worry. They're going to be in circulation one way or the other.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yeah, you can just either determine who gets them or I can. That's your call. Speaking of calls, how's it going getting additional traffic? It was a little bizarre. We came back from St. Louis a week ago, and our plane showed up, and there were two planes there, and they couldn't handle three planes down at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we were waiting. Somebody came in early, somebody left late, mm-hmm. whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, to me, I'm sitting there smiling.
Yeah.
I mean, this is cool.
Yep.
It was a little disconcerting for others.
Yeah.
So what is the status? What is the capacity also? I mean, could you have another five flights a day?
We could, spaced out. They can handle two flights at the same time and often do. But when that third one, what they call an IROP, so a delay or cancellation or something, if they end up with three active aircraft down there at the same time being United, then it's a little overwhelming as far as what they're staffed up to at our airport. So
it's not the physical spacing of the planes.
Right. We can actually handle four aircraft parked up there at the same time. So it's more of a staffing constraint than anything else.
When you last deigned to appear with us, not only were you headed to a hockey game.
Yeah, that didn't turn out so well for my team, but great for the Sharks.
Well, you know, and as long as everybody hit the concession stands, that's what really counts.
Yep.
You'd indicated that there could be some additional news, something pending out there, something swirling around.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one that at least I hear most discussion about is American coming back, that's the one that people are really missing.
Yeah.
Is it in the cards at all that those folks may be back, that Phoenix flight?
It could be. It actually performs pretty well on a load factor basis, but American overall and all of the airlines are dealing with this right now in different ways, but they all have constraints and staffing issues, not necessarily on the ground like we were just talking about, but more in the cockpit and the flight attendant.
The guys who can mechanics. Land and take yep, off. Yeah,
yep, no matter what direction the wind's blowing. But, they're all dealing with pilot shortages and getting enough new pilots through the door, especially for their regional carriers. American right now has parked over 100 regional jets that are just sitting there, and they'd like to use them at places like ACV. They just don't have enough pilots at their regional partners to fly those aircraft right now. And that 100 number might grow to 150 or so aircraft by the time they're done parking jets. So American's the biggest carrier in the United States and in the world when you're measuring by most metrics. So 100 or 150 is a lot. It's not a huge chunk. It's about 15-ish percent of their overall fleet, but that still has major impacts to smaller communities like us, and we're not the only ones. It's happened to hundreds of communities around the country. So,
how often does an airplane fly?
Usually a regional jet. They will utilize that depending on how long the legs are, but their utilization time is around 12 hours a day.
So they're run pretty hard.
Yep. So obviously they have scheduled maintenance in there, and then you have unscheduled maintenance that pops up. So, but when they're flying, it's typically around 12 hours that they utilize it each and every day.
And you can't have your mechanics all available throughout the day spread through, so it's
and that's
cluster times.
That's something behind the scenes that is causing some logistics issues for the airlines too. You hear a lot of national headlines talking about all of the airlines being short on pilots, and they want to fly more and more jets and more destinations, but they just can't because of that pilot constraint. In the background, there's also a mechanic constraint too, where they don't have enough mechanics to keep, you know, a full fleet that they'd like flying. So that's a challenge that they're taking on, and they're all competing very hard to try to hire more mechanics as well.
Do mechanics have the same amount of training, not training, internship, whatever it is, as pilots have to?
Yeah, it's typically a little different track, but usually it's a 2-year program, and they have to get a airframe and power plant, they call it, or A&P certificate, which is an FAA certificate. A pilot usually takes about 6 years to build enough hours and experience to be hireable by the airlines, where a mechanic can usually get that certificate in a 2 to 3 year window. And that's something that obviously they can address the problem quicker, but it's still a multi-year issue when you're talking hundreds or thousands of mechanics needed out there.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz from Humboldt County Airports, most notably AC, and we don't know why V. right?
There it is.
Yeah, okay. That's another potential card.
It is. It is.
So before the break, we were talking about airplane mechanics, mm-hmm. that there's a dearth and that the industry really needs something. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a full employment plan for that.
Yep.
Pilots, we've heard about that also, but the thing we typically hear along with pilots is either they're not being paid enough to have a career mm-hmm. with one airline that they kind of bounce around a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Or they're always on standby.
Yep.
And that just wreaks havoc on somebody. Why hasn't the model been changed?
It actually is changing quite significantly. That's a great question, Brian. Going back, I came through college in 2005 through 2009, and
oh, playing that card.
Well, I was like throwing the age in there when I'm with Brian. But a lot of my friends in college, I worked out at the airport during those years, and they were flight instructors. We had a couple hundred flight instructors at my university, and quite a fleet of aircraft. But oftentimes when they built up that experience we were talking about in the last segment, and they go fly for a SkyWest Airlines and flying aircraft like we see here at ACV every day, it's it'd be, you know, $25,000 to about $32,000 a year that they'd be starting at. And they were oftentimes coming out of college with north of $100,000 in debt, with that being their starting salary, flying as a first officer. And that doesn't leave a lot of meat on the bone to start paying back $100,000 plus in debt.
The per diem isn't that
significant. No. And so they were literally living by the skin of their teeth and wasn't much to bring home. But they did it because they love the industry and they love flying. And now those same pilots coming out of mine and other universities across the country and flight programs, they're starting at $60,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year for their first job. Plus, they're getting major sign-on bonuses well into the five figures. I've seen, you know, $25,000 to $50,000 sign-on bonuses as these airlines are all competing very very in a very competitive aggressive arena. Aggressively and they're continuing to try to one-up each other and attract that next round of pilots coming out of these flight schools. So it's changed, and it is something that people can make a very good living right out of college, and you're working about 1,000 hours a year, so about half of what a normal job would be. You do have travel in there, and you spend a lot of time away from home. But
you can't afford a bad day.
No, exactly. the pressure's always on when you're in that cockpit, but and making those preparations for your next flight. But it is a very good job, and as they build that experience, they're really, really up in the game with these new. I think Delta just signed a new contract. I know Southwest is working on finalizing one. Alaska just signed a new contract with their pilot union. And the top-end pilots will now be making, you know, $250,000 and up. When they get about 10, 12 years of experience with that airline, they'll be making a very good living and able to really afford to live anywhere in the country that they might be based at.
So. Or fly over.
Or fly over, yeah, exactly.
Do they get per diems?
So their hours are paid. They call them block hours, and there's different structures. I was actually talking to a friend of mine from college a couple months ago. He's a first officer for Southwest and looking at upgrading to captain here in the next couple of years. But it's different for each airline on, you know, what they get for per diem, and their hotels are always paid for when they're out on a trip, and they do get some stipend, whatever they might call it, per diem or what have you, for meals and such. But it's more of what are they getting paid during those block hours. So if they're scheduled to fly for 6 hours that day, they're going to get a certain hourly wage for those 6 hours. And that could be flying from Denver to here and then back. That's about, you know, 6-7 hours right there, that round trip. And they're going to get paid from a certain time period that they report at the Denver airport. And then they're going to get paid once
they land and taxi in.
Yep. It's not just the hours they're up in the air. It's the hours they're taxiing. It's some of the time they're prepping for the flights and so on and so forth.
You would want to have the pilots have enough time and to wander around to make sure the plane's okay.
Yep. You see them doing that.
The checking. Yeah. The list.
And there's a lot of times when you board an aircraft too, you see the cockpit door open and the pilots are in there. And a lot of it's, you know, looking at the computer systems that help them monitor all the intricacies of making sure that they're going to have a safe flight.
Well, make sure the hamsters are fed.
And the wheels turning.
Yeah. Now, what about for the stewardesses or whatever they're called these days?
Flight attendants, yeah.
Is there a shortage there also?
There is. It's not as bad as what it is with the pilots or the mechanics. And they are paid very similarly to the pilots as far as the structure, not necessarily the pay scale, because it doesn't require as much training before you're eligible to be hired. There's certainly rigorous training programs that the flight attendants go through once they're hired by the airline before they're authorized to go out. A lot of people I don't think realize is the flight attendants are considered part of the flight crew. You know, you get that safety briefing every time you get on, and when flight attendants really shine with their expertise is when something goes wrong, much like the pilots. They're very good in those emergency situations and helping ensure that everything behind the cockpit is conducted in a safe manner. So
yeah, all you need to do is have a medical.
Yep.
And you see them
exactly
fly into action.
And you hear some of those stories too about you know, doctors or medical experts being on the flight, but the flight attendants are just as important in making sure that that person gets there safely. And what's happening back there is communicated up to the pilots, so the pilots can make decisions on where they're going to go.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz from Humboldt County Airport.
I think he got it right every segment today.
Yeah. Well, but I had to slow down.
So I could keep up.
Didn't want to overshoot. No, that I didn't stumble and fall. I was bragging somewhere. I think it was last week. Maybe it was on the Saturday thing. That when I was playing ball, I specialized on tripping over lines. And I still do.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
I'd take the field in baseball and always jump over the first baseline when we took the field. So
for me, it was
the
volleyball court line. Boom. Okay, yeah. Great. Get up. So it sounds to me, from what you've shared so far, Cody, that careers in air transportation are pretty much, I mean, call your shots.
Yeah.
Is it almost like the nursing in the medical arena, too? Obviously, the dollars aren't quite the same, nor is the cost of tuition the same. But is it almost to that level?
Yeah, it's cutthroat, and it's really across the board. We've been talking a lot this morning about the airlines and some of their hiring struggles. But air traffic control, they need more people in that industry, the airport industry. There's always openings across the country and in our side of the operation. It's something that on the local level has gotten a lot better for us about a year ago, year and a half ago. in the middle of everything COVID, we were in a pretty dire situation. I'd lost quite a bit of staff up there at the airport.
Moving on because you weren't paying them, or moving on because they were being wooed away?
I think it was, you know, certain situations, each individual had their own reasoning, but it was a combination of what you mentioned and other things. But I'm sure a lot of people you talk to in here and around the community were dealing with staffing struggles, and we were a part of that.
Universal.
Yeah, and the industry, airlines, airports, air traffic, all of it, even the FAA has had some hiring struggles, and I've talked to them a little bit about that at offices. But it's really across the board, and I think the pay for pilots continues to get better. There's some constraints on air traffic and regulatory stuff when it comes to FAA personnel, but I think they've been forced to kind of up those ceilings as well, just to be competitive with medical and trying to get young people interested in aviation.
Hey, what could be more sexy than being in the airplane industry?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not building airplanes, but you know, flying and going and travel. And now, granted, if you've got a family.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes it a little tough. Or if the family's not, if you've got little guys and girls.
Yep, yep.
Okay, that I get that part.
Yep.
But if you're either single or empty nest or somebody else is also in the same industry, do they allow pilots? Okay, stereotype, bust me if you want to. Pilots married to a stewardess. Or vice versa. Or vice versa.
Flight attendant, okay. Yeah.
You know, she's flying and he's pushing the soda pop.
Yep.
Do they allow them to stay together as a unit?
I don't know that
if they're in the same industry.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're allowed to work together or what constraints might be there, but I know that happens quite a bit in the industry. I'm trying to think of my buddies in the industry. I don't think any of them are married to other pilots, but I know some pilots here locally that are married to another pilot, and not necessarily airline pilots, but they're pilots for medical companies or
no. Oh, okay. They're still flying airplanes.
Yeah. Okay. It's I'm not sure, you know, what restrictions, but you know, people do fall in love when they're working together, certainly, and I have seen that before in the industry, and people make it work. And you brought up, you know, pilots and flight attendants and kind of their crazy schedules, and they certainly are crazy schedules, but, you know, they do get adequate time off too. They'll get stretches of 4, 5, 6 days off. So, you know, balanced and the right setup, it can work for a family and starting a family and having a family throughout your career.
Yeah, I've never seen one with a child backpack on.
No. I have seen.
Gotcha, huh?
And I actually had some of the flight instructors at my university that helped train me fly. So, you know, they were good and patient. Gals that have gone on to start their own family and they're out there as first officers or captains for different airlines, and they're able to make it work too as mothers. So it can work no matter what your plans are later on in life.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It just is a cool niche, and I don't think most kids going through high school think of that as a career option.
Yeah.
There's nobody there at career day, but it sounds very cool.
Well, and I'll have more details in future months when I come back to chat with you, but we are going to, in May, we're working with Cal Poly Humboldt. They have an aviation club, but we're going to do an aviation day here at Murray Field. So at a very minimum, have aircraft out on the ramp and invite the public to come check those out.
Well,
I want to see
Brian out
there.
It's the getting out part. See everybody tomorrow.